Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back on 830 WCCO, the noon to three show, normally hosted by Chad Hartman, the one and only, but today hosted by me, former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, filling in for one day and one day only for Chad. We're glad you're listening in with us about the discussion of important issues facing our state and our nation. And we want to invite your participation. Again, I have a view, but the point of this is to also hear from you about your views. And so we can have, a variety, a robust discussion on these topics. So to do that, you can call the City's One Plumbing Talk or Text line. It's 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. And before the break, we were talking to Ryan Clancy, who's involved with the No Labels organization, bipartisan group, trying to find some improvement, ground for bipartisan improvement in the immigration issue and challenge our country faces. And we got a number of texts that came in from our listeners. Here's a couple. First one says, politicians have been kicking the can down the road for 32 years. How can immigration be turned to a positive? There is a desperate need for workers, aging, shrinking population, economy will stall out with more workers, consumers, etc. So how can we turn this into a positive? In my view, one way we could do that is to say, whatever agreement we have on immigration, it needs to be legal. Because once you start signaling to people that illegal behavior is okay, it undermines what's known as the rule of law. We're a country that says we do not base ourselves on the edicts of men or women, dictators being in charge of us. We have rules that as a community, as a state, as a nation, we agree upon. And we expect them to be followed. And here, there's just open, flagrant violation of our laws. And so let's conform our laws to the behavior or the behavior to the laws or some combination of both. And I think the way to do that, from my view, Ryan offered some ideas. He wasn't coming at it from a Republican standpoint, but some of his ideas I think Republicans could embrace. But here's a couple more. Again, if you set aside folks who are refugees and they're coming here just for economic opportunity, the main thing they're seeking is either help from the government, our government, in terms of health care and housing and transit and all the benefits that they get. And some of those are supposedly, not available to people who are here illegally or on an undocumented basis. But nobody really checks, frankly. And so a lot of that takes place. You could tighten up those restrictions or the enforcement of that as a way to deter not the demand side, excuse me, not the supply side, but the demand side of the equation. Also, there's a thing called E-Verify, which, the worst kept secret in sort of immigration is if people come for jobs, they really don't have to prove much to show or allege, at least, that they're here legally. They just fill out some paperwork, in many cases fraudulently. The employer who employs them doesn't have a particular obligation to check into it very deeply, whether the paperwork is accurately or fairly or fully filled out. And everybody just sort of, they put the paper in the file and everybody goes on their business. And if the ICE ever shows up at the doorstep of the employer, they say, we have the paperwork that we didn't know this person was illegal. So if we forced or required employers to use E-Verify, or at least say you have to use E-Verify, and if you don't, there's going to be some consequences if we find illegal behavior on your premise, I think you begin to change how employers would view the equation and would help discourage some of this behavior. And we need to force people, require, incentivize, whatever you want to do it, into the legal queue, the line, to get in and do it legally. That's something I think is very, very important. There were other texts that came in during the break as well. Another one said, fentanyl is not an illegal immigration issue. Fentanyl gets into the country via legal ports of entry and courier services such as FedEx. It does not get here on the backs of poor families. I think there's probably some dispute about all of that, but we'll let that statement stand. And I don't know enough to say it's fully accurate or fully inaccurate, but I want to make sure that that viewpoint was expressed as part of the show as well. Here's another one. How much of our problem is by design? In other words, how much of it is based on our laws, regarding immigration? Well, I think there is, as Ryan mentioned, if you are on the left and you bring up any effort to restrict illegal immigration, you get called lots of names. And frankly, there's a sort of potentially a political calculation around how immigration benefits their party, the Democratic Party. On the Republican side, there's probably people, I don't know for sure, who say, we want to have our businesses have all these workers, and we can't really push immigration enforcement very far because you're going to have industries like agriculture or hospitality or others aren't going to have the workers. So there may be some unspoken or unsaid things that are encouraging the parties to go lax on these issues as well. There's some texts about the need to invest in judges and courts and facilities to process and, if need be, retain or detain people. That's certainly true. And then they're saying others, other than criminalizing immigration, what else could we do? enforcement, I would say. And maybe you don't need to criminalize it, but you do need the ability to say, if you're here on an unauthorized, undocumented, illegal basis, and you haven't gone through the proper channels to be vetted, you haven't budged the line, we have to have the ability to send you back and otherwise prohibit you from accessing what you came for, which is employment and government benefits in some cases. So there's a few additional thoughts on immigration. We are going to turn our attention now to something a little more local. That's just really about the state's budget. And Blaise Olson, who's a WCCO radio commentator, said a little earlier on the top of the hour news feed that if the budget that the Democrats have agreed to at our state capitol goes through, the effect of that is that the state's budget will increase from last budget cycle to this one 30%, 30%, and that the state's budget will have doubled in the last 10 years. Much of that time, inflation was pretty darn low, by the way. So we have a state government that is on a spending spree that is unfamiliar to most family budgets, most business budgets, and the like. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But before we do, let's take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to just visit about what those numbers mean. They're a little more complicated than just the headlines, but the headlines by themselves are pretty startling. This is Governor Tim Pawlenty, former Governor Tim Pawlenty, on WCCO 830. We'll take a short break and be right back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We are back on Noon to 3, the Chad Hartman Show, although today guest hosted by former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. That's me. We're glad you're listening in and hope you continue to do so as we go through hour number 2 and upcoming hour number 3 of the show. Before the break, we're talking a little bit about the state spending and how the state's budget from last budget cycle to this one is now slated to go up 30%. Now, in fairness, that includes some tax relief. A few billion dollars of that is in tax relief. So if you back that out, you know, the spending on, say, government stuff is probably somewhat less, not a lot less than 30%. So the few billion is compared to the $17.9 billion they're spending. So you can see that while the final number, if you back out the tax relief, may not be 30%, it's certainly well high into the mid-high 20s. So in any event, I think that's going to give a lot of people in Minnesota sticker shock. There's explanations for why all the spending was needed and all the good it does. But it relates back to, well, by the way, Dave, just the sticker shock itself, does that number, do you think, is that going to startle people? Does it startle you in terms of just the headline number?
Yes. I saw the news as it came out yesterday and said, oh, my goodness, that's a wow. I mean, even for somebody that I've never been in government, I haven't followed government all that closely all my life, I know that's a giant number for the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, it sure is. And you know, if you think about how the economy performs generally, now the last couple years or last year has been an exception because inflation's taken off. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, for most of the last decade, inflation has been almost non-existent by historical standards, you know, a couple percent. And state spending and frankly, the government spending more broadly has far exceeded that. And in fact, Blois Olson, WCCO analyst, mentioned earlier in the show that on a recorded basis that, you know, this is going to double the state's budget over the last 10 years. I mean, it's pretty amazing, not in a good way, in my view. Now, let's say, how did we get here? You know, where did they get all this money and how did they have all this money? And there's a story behind that. They had stalemate in a couple of legislative sessions, so some money piled up. And another part of this is federal money. And all of us will recall what happened during the pandemic, the panic set off with the pandemic. But faster than people expected, you know, the economy and markets kind of recovered. But in the meantime, the Congress, United States Congress, who has no, by the way, balanced budget requirement, they can essentially affect the printing of money. Fed actually does it, but the Congress, you know, spends it or authorizes it. You know, they went crazy. And they spent trillions and trillions of dollars in Congress in terms of fiscal policy. And then the Fed spent trillions and trillions of dollars in monetary policy and, you know, hurled money out across the country in an effort to forestall an economic slowdown. Well, they're going to may get one anyhow, because what that did, of course, is trigger inflation. And so instead of having 2% inflation, we now have called 6%. And last year was much higher than that. For a while, it was up closer to 9%. And the Fed's own San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank said in a study that a good chunk of the inflation that we have now and have been experiencing and trying to get rid of is because of this federal government spending. I mean, they really, you know, unprecedented, really. So the Fed now is saying, and today they're going to have a meeting, an announcement about the next round of potential interest rate hikes. And our listeners may be wondering, well, why are they keep raising interest rates? Well, they raise interest rates because the economy, via measured by inflation, is too hot, too high on the inflation side, which means too many dollars chasing too few products and driving up the prices. And there was some supply chain issues too. And as that happens, it has other effects. And so you may have gotten $500 or $1,000 from the federal government, but if you used to have 2% inflation and now you got 9% inflation or 6 or 7 or 8% inflation, you know, call that a 5% difference between how it used to be and now. Let's say you make $100,000 a year and inflation's 5%. Your purchasing power went down $5,000. $5,000 for the same stuff, gasoline, groceries, you know, life's requirements. And so everybody celebrates, well, I got $500 from the government. I got $1,000 from the government. And a lot of people needed it, for sure. I'm not begrudging that. But I know a lot of people whose circumstances during COVID didn't change. They didn't lose their job. Their spouse didn't lose their job. Their economic circumstance stayed essentially the same. Brief downturn in the stock market, but even that came back not too long after the pandemic started. And now they're losing in purchasing power thousands of dollars a year because of these policies. And the point of all of that is a part of the reason the state government has all this money is because the federal government gave them a big chunk of it, or they supplanted state spending with federal spending, and it helped create the surplus. But they're spending it all. They're spending it all to the tune of a 30% increase budget cycle over budget cycle. It's not finalized yet, but I think with an all-DFL or all-Democrat legislature, they probably will finalize something close to it. And that's going to be the story, I think, for a lot of people politically as we get into the spring and summer. Also in the news this week, besides the Federal Reserve and interest rates, and I should just mention this quickly, on a geostrategic level, China and Russia have been growing closer and closer together, and that's sort of a proxy for countries who are not democracies. They claim to be communists or socialists, but they're really authoritarian regimes, and their followers, their enablers. And, you know, the United States has to face sort of a growing alliance between Russia and China in various ways. But one way we need to think about that is they are actively engaging in social media that is showing up within American news feeds, American social media feeds, to undermine the United States from within and try to fray us, try to separate us, try to cause friction within the country. And time doesn't allow me to go into all of it, but it's pretty clear that commentators, people who follow this and analyze it, have identified certain messages that China and Russia and their agents, you know, funnel into American social media especially, and even in some of the main elements of mainstream media. But those messages include racism is getting worse, not better. Capitalism doesn't work at all. Elections are rigged or weaponized, and we can't trust our leaders or our institutions. Now, we all can take issue with some of those and say we agree in whole or part or disagree in whole or part or to a degree. But clearly, those themes, when you see them in your social media or in your media orbit, at least take a second to think about what's the source behind that? Who's paying for that? What are their motives? What are their alignments? And it may be their legitimate views, and there is no malfeasance by Russia or China, but in many cases there are. And so it's just a word of caution about China's strategy in part taking down the United States from within through these kinds of repeated messages. And their view is if you can give people enough messaging, enough volume with enough money behind it, eventually you can persuade many people of almost anything. And sadly, some of that seems to be coming true in the way that we treat each other, what we believe, even without evidence or facts. So check your sources and don't just assume everything we're seeing or reading, of course, is some sincere person on the other end talking about these issues that I just mentioned a minute ago. Dave, do you, well, I guess we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about social media, but we're also going to switch topics, and we're going to be joined by former Minnesota Congressperson Tim Penny. He represented the 1st Congressional District in Minnesota. He's involved with an organization called the Citizens for a Responsible Budget, and he's going to talk about these spending and budgeting issues, federal deficit and debt, at the national level when we come back from break. WCCO 830. Hope you'll continue to listen in after this break.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right. Well, while the Chad's away, we'll play. And Dave Harrigan and I, producer Dave Harrigan and former Governor Tim Pawlenty, filling in for Chad Hartman on the noon to three Chad Hartman show today. And it's not just a normal Wednesday. It's Wolves Wednesday. Dave Harrigan, tell us about Wolves Wednesday.
That's right. We can play while Chad's away, but we still need to give the people the chance to get the Wolves tickets. Wolves Wednesday today, before the end of the show, you'll hear the wolf howl. At some point, when you hear that, you got to be caller three. You get a four-pack of tickets for the game. That'll be April 9th, which happens to be Easter Sunday, a 2:30 start. Wolves and New Orleans Pelicans at Target Center. But once again, once you hear that wolf howl, listen to that howl, be caller three, and you get a four-pack of tickets to see the Wolves and Pelicans on Sunday, April 9th.
All right. That sounds like a good deal. When you listen for that howl and then call in, get those free tickets. Before the break, we were talking a bit about the state budget and federal budget, and the Star Tribune did an editorial the other day, and they talked a little bit about the federal budget deficit. Now, there's the debt and the deficit. The deficit is what they're in the red every year, and then the debt is what it adds up to or rolls up to over time as a grand total. And in relevant part, they said for fiscal year 2023, federal outlays of our federal government was going to be $6.2 trillion. $6.2 trillion. But here's the bigger problem, besides the fact that that's a lot of money. They're only going to take in $4.8 trillion. So they continue this many, many decade-long pattern of spending more, some years by unbelievably larger amounts, than they're taking in. And so they took in they're spending 6.2, spending 4.8. So they are spending $1.4 trillion that they don't have. So it's extraordinary. And it's some numbers, years that's even bigger. So let's say for every dollar you had that you spend, you didn't have, say, 25 cents of it. You wouldn't last long as a household, as a business, as anything. And yet that's our federal government in action, or more specifically, inaction. We're fortunate to be joined now by somebody who has studied these issues in a thoughtful, bipartisan way for a long period of time. And he is Tim Penny. Many of you will remember him as the former congressman from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District, which back then and still now is southeastern Minnesota. He was in Congress between 1982 and 1994. Throughout his congressional career, Tim placed an emphasis on budget issues. He really is an expert on these things. He chaired the Democratic Budget Group, as well as the Porkbusters Coalition. Previous to that, he served in the Minnesota Senate. He was also appointed by President Bush to a bipartisan commission on Social Security reform. He's also been involved in a public relations firm. But importantly, he does really public service work and leadership work in Minnesota still, serving as Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation's president and CEO. He's also the co-author of a number of books, and he's an all-around good guy. By the way, he and I ran against each other for governor together. And of course, when you run against somebody, it's a hard fought battle, but I've really enjoyed getting to know Tim better since then. And we've got a good and cordial relationship, and he's just an all-around really good guy. And so thank you, Tim, for joining the show and sharing your thoughts about this important topic.
Hey, I'm glad to be with you, although it's rather a depressing topic.
Yeah, it is. It is a little depressing, and something that you've been you and I should mention importantly, Tim is on the board of Citizens for a Responsible Budget, and that's a national organization with a lot of luminaries on it. And he's not just on the board; he's a co-chair, one of the leaders of the organization, and we appreciate his work there. Well, Tim, let's just start with I think you were in Congress, if I recall correctly, when. One the only time in modern history where the Congress balanced its budget, at least for 1 year. Were you in Congress when that happened?
It happened shortly after I came home, but I was involved in the last 2 years of the President Bush administration and the first 2 years of the Clinton administration, where we had pitched battles over deficit reduction and actually made significant headway. I teamed up with my friend John Kasich, who was then a Republican congressman from Ohio, became the Budget Committee chairman shortly after I retired and came home to Minnesota. And a lot of the work, the groundwork that we laid in those years fed into the work that he, together with President Clinton, did to get us back to a surplus for the first time in many, many decades.
Yeah. Well, Tim, I mentioned a little bit this year's...
We blew it all right away in the early 2000s, and we've been digging the hole deeper ever since, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the numbers I mentioned just for 2023, sort of, it's a pattern that repeats itself. And I'll just be real blunt here. It doesn't seem like it matters which party's in control of Congress, the Senate. We've had every configuration, Republican or Democrat president, Republican or Democrat senator, House... You know, with one exception, the one you mentioned in the mid-1990s, they haven't balanced the budget in forever. And the debt just gets worse and worse and worse and is accelerating. Why can't they or why won't they, in your view, make any meaningful progress on these issues?
Well, one is that the choices are too difficult. At the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget, which I have the honor of co-chairing along with former Governor Mitch Daniels of Indiana and a colleague of mine from the Congress who then went on to serve in both the Clinton and Obama administrations, Leon Panetta. He was the budget chairman when we were in Congress together. We've been hammering on this message for years and years, but we conclude that it takes a combination of spending cuts, not just restraint, and tax revenues in order to get a handle on a deficit this large. And sometimes we feel like we're a wolf crying in the wilderness, but our board of directors is comprised of almost everybody that's ever served as the head of the Office of Management and Budget, the head of the Government Accountability Office, the head of the Congressional Budget Office. So these are prestigious individuals who know what they're talking about, but because the choices are so difficult, it's hard to get politicians on either side of the aisle to embrace this. Secondly, a piece of this needs to deal with entitlements, and those are touchy subjects, Social Security and Medicare. And as you saw at the State of the Union speech a month or so ago, both sides of the aisle basically took any talk about those two programs off the table, even though they are both headed for insolvency in the not-too-distant future. So choices are too difficult, and I think both parties have gotten away with a big lie for many years. On the Democratic side, they pretend just simply tax the rich and it takes care of it. There are not enough rich people to take care of this problem. On the Republican side, it's cut taxes, it'll grow the economy. Well, we've tried that, and it hasn't quite gotten us there. So neither side wants to bite the bullet.
You're listening to WCCO Radio, 830, noon to 3, Chad Hartman program. Guest host Tim Pawlenty here, along with very distinguished guest, former Congress member of Congress Tim Penny. He's also, as he mentioned, a co-chair of the Citizens for a Responsible Budget. And that's an organization that tries to bring attention to these issues of the federal deficit and debt running out of control and tries to offer some solutions as well. Tim, we talked about the deficit. I did in the Star Tribune editorial, which was $1.4 trillion this year. But of course, every year goes by, it's more and more trillions under the debt pile, which is different. Can you give us a number for what the debt is adding up to these days?
Yeah, well, it's $31 trillion now, which is about the size of our annual economy in the United States. So our debt is as large as our entire economy, which tells you how bad things are. And we haven't had a debt that has been as big as or larger than our economy since World War II. And, of course, that's understandable that we had to borrow a lot of money to fight that war. Now it's irresponsible to run up this kind of debt in times of relative peace. And that amounts to, I believe, $94,000 per person in America, or about $240,000 per household in America. So wow. To put it in those terms, it's kind of a frightening number.
Well, we're going to take a short break, but we're going to continue our discussion with Tim Penny, who is, again, recognized nationally as an expert on these issues. And we'll come back and talk about what it might take for Congress to actually do something about it and what that pain point might look like. And we also will talk about, if nothing does happen, what's likely to happen in terms of economic impacts, in terms of interest rates and the country's ability to even afford those interest rates going forward, and what that means for other valued programs or initiatives as well. WCCO Radio 830, we'll be right back after this break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We are back on Noon to 3 with Chad Hartman, or the Chad Hartman Show. This is Tim Pawlenty, guest hosting for Chad today. We're continuing our discussion about the federal debt and deficit, which should alarm all of us, as we'll learn more about that as, you know, with our discussion with Tim Penny. But before we do, it's time for the Lindus Construction Time Check. It's time to get 50% off installation labor on Infinity from Marvin Windows. The time now is 1:48. All right, and joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline is Tim Penny. Many of you will remember him as a former congressman from Minnesota's 1st Congressional District. Among his many other elements of his public service career, he is a co-chair of the Citizens for a Responsible Budget. And he and a lot of other people who know a lot about that are trying to raise awareness and attention about the problem, the magnitude of it, and what we might do about it. Tim, the issue before us is, will Congress act, and will the president act, not just this one, but anyone? What is it going to take, do you think? I mean, I think we can fairly conclude after watching this for 30 years that they're either unwilling or incapable of doing it. So some sort of external event is going to have to force their hand. It seems, I hope that it didn't have to get to that point, but it seems like that's where we're headed. What type of external events could force action or provide more impetus to get something done?
Well, my co-chair, Leon Panetta, has often said that on the tough decisions, and this is certainly one of them, it takes either leadership or a crisis. And it's pretty clear we're not getting leadership. Sadly, President Biden's budget would add $19 trillion in debt over the next 10 years. So as bad as $31 trillion is, add 19 to that. And half of that increase, sadly, is coming from interest costs. So we're going to absorb an additional $10 trillion in interest on our existing debt over the next 2 years, especially as interest rates continue to climb. But my belief is that sooner or later you hit the wall. And when that crisis hits, economic crisis driven by all of this debt and such, we're we're going to have to deal with this just as we have in the past with other economic calamities. And the difference is this time, the solution can't be just throwing more money out there in order to save the economy. It's going to have to be austerity at long last.
And we should explain for our listeners that the federal government, issues debt in the form of bonds or treasuries and the like to, have this debt be out there and have other people buy it. And, of course, we pay other countries, investors of all types, an interest rate for their willingness to loan the federal government this money. Can you explain to us how that works and how rising interest rates could cause sort of the dominoes to fall or the house of cards to fall?
Yeah. And first, I want to start by saying as bad as things are in terms of the president's proposed budget, I have it on good authority that it doesn't look like either the Senate or the House are going to bother developing a budget this year. So that means that our spending and tax policies are really not going to be based on any blueprint. It's just going to be kind of cobbled together. And that's no way to deal with the nation's business. But, we've had the good fortune over the last decade or so of very low interest rates on our national debt. That's beginning to climb now. And that's one of the reasons that we're going to go from just a few hundred billion in interest on our national debt to probably $1 trillion annually on our interest payments on our national debt in the coming years, just because we are no longer going to benefit from the low rates we've paid. And that has a compounding effect. And essentially, we're going to borrow money to pay the interest. You can't, in your private life, on your credit cards, you can't do that for very long before you're in trouble. And even a nation like the United States, which is the strongest economy in the world, can't get away with this forever either.
And it is sort of like paying off one credit card debt with another credit card, isn't it?
Precisely.
Yeah.
We've done that with the Social Security system as well. We 10 years ago, no longer were raising enough money annually from annual payroll taxes from the workers in order to pay benefits. So we've been drawing on the so-called trust fund for a decade. And within another decade, that trust fund will be exhausted. But the money in that trust fund wasn't money sitting in a bank account somewhere or an investment fund somewhere. It was money that had been spent on the rest of our federal government over the years with the promise that we'll repay it when it's needed. So for the last number of years, we've been borrowing money to repay the money we've borrowed out of Social Security. And that doesn't get any better because that so-called trust fund is exhausted within 10 years. And then we're only going to have enough money paid into that program to pay about 75% of the benefits we've promised.
Hmm. Now, we're talking to Tim Penny, who, among other things, is a co-chair of the Citizens for a Responsible Budget. We're talking about the federal budget and how deeply in the red it is every year and over time adding up to a mountain of debt. Tim, on the issue of things that could trigger a catastrophe, one would be these continued rising interest rates and the interest that the government has to pay on its own debt going up and up and up. And I suppose another would be purchasers of the debt, whether they be private investors or other countries, saying, you know what, your finances have gotten so shaky, even if inflation gets tamed, we're just not sure about your ability to pay it back. We demand a higher premium, a higher interest rate to continue to buy this debt. And I think of China as one example. Do you think about or worry about an effort like that or a demand like that also causing this house of cards to begin to fall?
Oh, yeah. And that's why I referenced earlier that we can't go on like this, because eventually we do hit the wall. And that's one way we could hit the wall. And you, during your experience dealing with Minnesota state budget and then your leadership at the Financial Services Roundtable, you kind of know how this plays out, because at some point they're going to demand much higher interest rates to borrow our debt, because they're going to see that that we've got more debt than our annual economy could pay for. And here's the problem. You can't predict exactly when we're gonna hit that wall or go over that cliff, but you can predict with certainty that it's going to happen if we don't get our fiscal house in order.
Yeah. Tim, we just have a minute or a little more left. So I would like to just touch on two things that are more personal to you, because I think many Minnesotans appreciate what you've done. You've had a lifetime of public service, Congress, legislature, various other things. But when you left Congress, did you leave because you felt like you had done all you could or needed to do, or did you leave frustrated and thinking, you know, this is not getting me where I want to be in terms of my contribution to the country?
Well, I never wanted to be a lifelong politician, so that was a piece of it. I wanted to get home to Minnesota before my kids forgot that they were Minnesotans. But yes, a high degree of frustration. And part of it was that, things were becoming increasingly polarized, harder to work across the aisle. And we weren't dealing honestly with these problems on the fiscal front then. We knew what was going to happen to Social Security and Medicare before I left Congress, and I introduced various pieces of legislation to try to reform those programs so that they could remain solvent, and no one wanted to deal with these things then. And so... That was a piece of the frustration that led me to just say, look, I can go home and get more done there.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim Penny, for being our guest on WCCO 830 Radio. And we appreciate you. I appreciate you personally. And I know our listeners appreciate all of your a lifetime of service to Minnesota and to our country. Thank you for all of that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.